Thanks so much for joining us here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. You know, over the, I think it's the past 5 years, the Portage County Historical Society has restored historic buildings. They've created exhibits celebrating local women, athletes, and musicians, and offered many walking tours. And with us today is John Harry, with me in the studio. John Harry is Executive Director of the Portage County Historical Society. John, thanks for joining us today.
I'm so excited to be here. You don't know how many times I've been like one call away from getting on the air, so I had to work real hard to get here today. I came all the way down.
I'm glad you're here. Janet Seymour with us as well. Janet is the Outreach Director for the Wisconsin Historical Society. And Janet, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning, Larry. Good to see you, and good to hear from John, too.
So these two are going to tell us how local history preservation can strengthen a community, certainly strengthen their community, and I bet it can strengthen yours as well as you listen in. Just a quick mention, at 12:30, we'll hear from humorist David Sedaris, but right now, what do you appreciate about your local historical society? What has it taught you about your area? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Jenna, let me start with you. Last month, the Portage County Historical Society was awarded the Reuben Gold Thwaites Trophy. What is that award? And maybe talk about how recipients are chosen.
Sure. So each year, the Wisconsin Historical Society's Board of Curators awards organizations and individuals throughout the state for outstanding work in history. And the Reuben Gold Thwaites Trophy for Excellence in Local History is the highest honor that the Wisconsin Historical Society and Board of Curators can share. And so being selected to receive the Reuben Gold Thwaites Trophy is certainly an honor. And this award has been in place since 1958. It is a traveling trophy that goes around the state honoring the work of one local history affiliate each year. And so the Thwaites Trophy recognizes excellence in collecting, preserving, and sharing history and achievement in serving a community for over a period of at least 5 years.
And it's very distinguished award. Who was Reuben Gold Thwaites, by the way?
Oh, that's a great question. Reuben Gold Thwaites was the Society's second director. And Reuben created the local history affiliate program that we know today. And here in 2025, the Wisconsin Historical Society works with more than 445 local history affiliates. And in 1898, Reuben Gold Thwaites created the local history affiliate program as one way to honor Wisconsin's 50th anniversary of statehood. He wanted to ensure that the State Historical Society was connected to county and local efforts to preserve history so that that shared work and shared mission would strengthen Wisconsin's ability to share our history across all communities and all counties. So this program was the first in the United States. And started in 1898, the first two affiliates were Green Bay and Ripon. And we have a very active and robust local history community here today in Wisconsin that we can all be proud of. And the Portage County Historical Society is an excellent example of that good work that is happening around the state.
And this is not an award you're going to win every year.
Yes, and actually, I think there's a requirement. You can win the award more than once, but you have to wait 25 years before you can apply again. And so this is the second time. I'll let John share those details, but the second time that the Portage County Historical Society has received this honor. But you do. There is a 25-year period.
John, you don't look old enough to have been there 25 years ago.
Oh, but. Yes, I'm. Yeah. I just, I looked younger 3 years, 4 years ago when I started the job, I'll tell you that.
Well, what does this, this award mean to you and Portage County Historical Society?
I think it's a validation that we're heading in the right direction with things. A lot changed with the hiring of my position in 2021. So our organization was founded in 1952, and I want to clear something up because this gets confused all the time. Portage County is where Stevens Point is.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
City of Portage is Columbia County. And if I could change one thing, it's so hard to, some people get those all screwed up and they're, yeah, anyway. And there's also a Portage County in Ohio to really confuse things too. But our organization was founded in 1952 and it was all volunteer then up until 2021. It was run by some very passionate people. And so it really, it became this community asset that really laid a great foundation for the growth that's taken place over the last few years.
Yeah. Well, regarding your first comment, a person that is part of Wisconsin Public Radio asked that very question, is Portage in Portage County? And I had to say, no, it's not in Portage County.
They drew the county line straight north from Portage when they were, plotting everything out, and then they just kept shrinking Portage County into the borders it has today, meanwhile leaving the city of Portage not in Portage County. There's your trivia.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? Mark and Bloomer's got something for us. So let's go there. Mark, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, every summer up here, I'm just up the road from East Barron County, and the Barron County Historical Society, they have a living, what do you call it, with all the old buildings and stuff, and you can walk around. But every summer, they have day camps for the youth, and the my daughter goes in her prairie dress and they collect the eggs from the chickens and they even get to butcher a chicken and eat chicken. And it's just so much fun. They make history come alive. It's just so beautiful.
Oh, Mark, thanks for calling. Janet, a comment? I'll get you to join in here.
Oh, that's great. Such a nice recognition for the excellent work of the folks do at the Barron County Historical Society. They're the Pioneer Village Museum. The team there offers wonderful summer opportunities and year-round activities too, but the educational summer camps that they offer for kids are a great opportunity for the community. So it's really nice to hear that.
Yeah, thanks, Mark, for calling. John, you mentioned you were hired as the executive director, and you were the organization's first paid staff member, and that's a big deal.
Yes.
And I wonder how you viewed. Did you view this as hiring as a step toward really significantly changing the organization?
Yes. So I'll start at the where we are now, and then I'll go back to the beginning. So where we are now is, it's almost 4 years since my position and I was hired. And now we have 3.5 staff positions. So it's me, an office administrator who is also our volunteer coordinator. We have a curator of our collections and then an educator to get to the caller's point there is education is, one of the tenets of our mission. So and one of our values. So, those are really important. How this all came into being, though, was when my first career was actually in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So we're in sort of a club here. But when I was switching careers, logical career switch, right, going from radio into history and public history.
I was thinking about the same thing myself. No, not really. Go ahead.
I basically was trying to figure out how to get into graduate school. I went to the great people at UW-Stevens Point. I happened to be working back in that area. And they were like, get active in the local historical society. So I showed up and they said, you want to join the board? I was like, well, okay. Not knowing what what that meant. And so I was on the board for a little more than a year, and I kind of, you know, great passionate people and great organization that was kind of not really going in a direction. There was a lot of ideas and things happening, and there wasn't a lot of awareness in the community. And so when I went to graduate school, I actually paired my history master's with a nonprofit management graduate certificate, and, you know, serendipity intervened, and this job kind of happened as my wife and I went to grad school in Milwaukee as we were trying to leave Milwaukee to go back up to Stevens Point, and this job happened to be available. So it all worked out that way, where I thought if we could really install some better systems, policies, better know-how of how to run a nonprofit, not just a museum, I think this organization can thrive, and I think this award is proof.
Yeah, I think it is. Janet, how are most local historical society are run by volunteers? And not paid staff.
In Wisconsin, that is true. We collect data from local history affiliates annually. So we know that about 75% of local history organizations in Wisconsin are volunteer-led endeavors. And of course, the 25% or so of museums and historical societies here in the state that have paid staff, volunteers are, of course, essential to their operations and their mission. So local history is very much a volunteer-supported and led activity in Wisconsin.
I can see the benefits of having a paid staff, but are there benefits of just a volunteer, having an all-volunteer?
Well, I think you see that in organizations that do have paid staff or a small staff, that volunteers are essential to the connecting to the community and serving the needs of the community. So there are many organizations here in Wisconsin that are volunteer-led, and many of them are seasonally operated or are smaller facilities. And so oftentimes that's an appropriate and manageable effort. It's still a lot of work and a lot of volunteer hours. But for larger county historical societies, public museums, et cetera, those often do have paid staff, but they are supported by their board of directors and volunteers, community supported organizations.
Well, we, Frank and Springbrook, we'll get to you after our quick look at the news here. Our guests, John Harry and Janet Seymour, as we talk about the Portage County Historical Society. And they will be back. We'll take that quick look at the news, and then we'll be back. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here visiting with a couple of folks today. John Harry is Executive Director of the Portage County Historical Society. So we're talking about the work the Historical Society is doing there. Janet Seymour with us as well. She's Outreach Director of the Wisconsin Historical Society. We're talking about the work on restoring historic buildings that they're doing. We'll certainly talk about that. We'll talk about preserving local heritage, and I hope you'll join in. The number's 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Frank in Springbrook's been hanging on for a while, so let's go to Frank. Thank you for calling, Frank. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. Say, I heard years ago that there was an English teacher in Spooner who had the senior class. One of their projects they always had every year is to interview one of their older relatives, write a biography, document local history. And then, you know, they got a grade on it, and that paper would go to the Historical Society. Have you heard of other programs like that in the state of Wisconsin?
I can take this.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead,
yeah.
John.
We have oral histories are a really integral part of saving local stories. And so that's actually a really great idea. So I appreciate you sharing with that of how we can integrate, you know, that work into schools as well. But we have done our own oral history projects. We did an exhibit on women's athletics history, and we did oral histories on that. And, you know, those are really powerful things because two of those people are deceased now. So it's really great that we were able to capture those stories before these people passed away. And what we've have launched this year is actually a live oral history series to do with our music. We have a music history exhibit, and one of the people in the exhibit came through the summer. His name is Bob Ray, W-R-A-Y. And Bob is a session musician, but he grew up in Stevens Point. But he worked down in Nashville and Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and is on 30 number one hit country records, from everybody to Johnny Cash to Ray Charles to Hank Williams. So we actually had an audience for that one. So there's a lot of different ways you can do oral histories, but you know, that's, I think, one of the most powerful things you can do is record an oral history, especially with a loved one. We just actually ran a workshop on how to do that as an organization with some of our members and community members showed up to that. So that's really important.
Janet, anything to add there?
I appreciate the focus on preserving community history through oral history. And there are a number of local historical societies that I've talked with over the years that have done similar projects to that. So I think there are certainly pockets of that happening in different places around the state, including up in Spooner.
John, what are the biggest challenges in your mind about the Portage County Historical Society?
I think that there's I have two answers to that. First is roles and governance, which is, you know, the most flashy topics you can talk about. But you got to, you know, I think a lot of people get involved in a local historical society because they're passionate about the mission area, right? They care about historical preservation and historical education. And I think what the next step then is, how do you run a nonprofit? And how do you actually assume a role as a board member? What does that mean? How is that different than just being a volunteer who shows up maybe on the weekends? And how do you run the business of the nonprofit? Is if you don't get that under your feet, you're never going to grow. You have to have that together. And then to kind of tie on to that, I mean, fundraising is always something that has to be done continuously. And you know, this, my position, the thing that kickstarted my position, was a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Well, those grants don't exist anymore. And so the fundraising challenge is moving forward so that we can maintain the very important parts of our mission of keeping our community stories alive and preserving the past for future generations so that we can build community through that. It's a tough road ahead for, I would say, most local historical societies. We, you know, support it just as WPR is going through different mm-hmm. things with different cuts and things too. You know, it's really important that our communities step up philanthropically to support these types of things.
And I think they step up. You have some great, you've instituted some great things that I think have helped make that community stand up and take notice.
I think that's the first thing when I came into this job was saying, I don't want people to say, I never heard of you before. So there's no point in being a hidden gem. Then you're not, you know, then that's not a gem, right? So we, you know, from the, you know, early in 2022 and early in my tenure in this job, we started doing a lot. We always did some tours, but we started doing a lot more tours. We concentrated on when we do community exhibits, are the communities we're representing involved in those exhibits? Are we telling those stories correctly? Especially when we get down to more sensitive topics. And so we have a lot of, you know, I look at my wife is always like, you know, you don't have to do so much. And I'm like, I do, because it's important, right? We need to keep our communities engaged. And I think the biggest thing is every time we add something, people keep showing up. And so our community is hungry for this content and to feel connected in this way.
So one of the things that you've done is restoring, 14?
a lot.
Structures in PortageCon?
So across four different sites, we have 14 different structures. And not some of them need some more work, but they're all usable at this point, too. And we have plans for future growth. So in Stevens Point, we have a historic synagogue that we're working on what's called a historic structure report right now, which will kind of guide us to another layer of restoration. Because that building's from 1905. But they did a restoration in the 50s that kind of mid-centuried it in a different way. And so kind of seeing, like, what do we want this space to actually be? We have a firehouse in Stevens Point. We out in this tiny little village between Stevens Point and Amherst called Nelsonville. There's the Rising Star Mill, which is the prettiest place on earth, I'll tell you that, right on the Tamara River. And then in Plover, just south of Stevens Point, we have a historical village that is 11 different structures. I say structures because one's a caboose. But we care for those buildings as well. And so maintenance is a continuous process. So restoration isn't a one-time thing. It's something you got to keep doing.
And I believe you have been able to complete over a couple $100,000.
Yeah.
In deferred maintenance.
Yeah. And so there was a lot of stuff on hold when I came in. And when you're talking about maintenance and building materials, it's only going to get more expensive. So the quicker you can get on top and really rein in some of those issues, because old buildings are really expensive things, the better you're going to be as an organization. Or if you own a historic building, you already know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So,
Janet, is there state funding available for restoring local historic sites?
The funding for local historical societies primarily comes from local communities. The support that is available for local communities, whether that's local historical societies, business owners, or homeowners, that is part of our State Historic Preservation Office and the tax credit program. And you can find a lot of information and the contact information online at wisconsinhistory.org. But that's through our State Historic Preservation Office. And they also our team there offers great support and guidance for local community members as well. So I encourage people to check out that part of our website and look to the expertise in our preservation office for support with those preservation projects.
Joe in Rhinelander has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I've got a question. My wife and I worked in Amherst in the early 1970s, I think 71, 72. And we had a good friend named Wendell Nelson, who wrote several books on the history of old homes in Portage County. And I wonder if their guest knows of him and if he's still around.
Unfortunately, Wendell passed away in 2020 or 2021. I'd have to look. I knew him as a community member. I actually was at our archives, and he had a eureka moment and was like, aha, I found it. So that's my best memory of Wendell. Wendell was a great local historian. He was kind of the keeper of all the stories of a lot of different things, but he was a big architectural historian. And when he passed away, he'd written several different books, a number of which the inventory got donated to us. And then all of his research files that he had, because this is in the days before like newspapers.com and all this stuff. And he would assemble these research files by topic. And then so you would thematically then be like, okay, am I looking for history of this certain tavern or this certain business or a different house or whatever? And then he would have all the clippings or legal documents in just one file. And I can say that we have digitized all of that. So that all of those are now in our Wendell Nelson research collection that if you email us and talk to our curator, that's a great way to get a research project started, is to see what we have.
That's amazing.
From that. Yeah. Unfortunately, he's not still around, but his legacy absolutely is living on with the hard work that he did for our community.
Joe, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Speaking of digitizing, anytime I can see a book or information on my local community's history, I'm all there. And I see your society has spent years digitizing photo negatives kept by the Stevens Point Journal newspaper.
Yeah, well, that ownership has changed hands, and in between one of the ownership hands, we got a lot of the photo negatives dating back to the 1930s for the Stevens Point Journal. They are very fragile things. So they're not like, if you think back to photo negatives that like I grew up with, that comes on a roll and they're very small. Yeah. These negatives are actually 4x5. They're huge. Oh. And so there's a lot of data you can get off of those. But the unfortunate thing is they're made up of an acidic compound. And they degrade over time. So if you were to open one of those boxes now, it's what's called vinegar syndrome, because you'd get a whiff of this acid vinegar coming off of them that removes the backing of the photo from the photo negative. And once that happens, you can't get that data off, and it's basically something lost. And so we had a volunteer start with us who was his name's Andy Barnett, and he was the director of the library in Wisconsin Rapids for a long time, and he lives at Stevens Point. And now he's retired, and he was looking for something to occupy him and that he could contribute with his unique skill set. And basically, he took this thing on like head first. And not only does he, you know, he works with other people, we have interns and other volunteers working on digitizing. He also goes and does the research and finds the newspaper so we can find the clippings. So if there's a caption with it, then we know who's in the photo, which is really cool because that might be the only photo that existed of, say, your grandfather or great-grandpa or something. So really powerful stuff. And through Andy's help and with our curator, I think we're over 7,000 photos digitized now.
Boy.
We still got like 13,000 to go.
I imagine you're going to have some kind of display at some point of all this.
Yeah, well, they all end up throughout the other exhibits. So we just launched our exhibit on music history, and it's like, do we have a photo of the Almond, Wisconsin band? We do, in 1951, because they were in the newspaper. And so using our, you know, database to find these things, it's, you know, maybe we'll do something that has these photos more prominently recognized, but it's really,
you're using
just,
them right
they're
now.
Just added into the content that we're building.
That's so cool. Jim and Stevens Point, we'll go to you now. Jim, hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to mention, and I've lived in Stevens Point for a long time, and what John and his staff have been able to do, from my perspective, is to really increase public knowledge and perception of the Historical Society. I think for a long time, people knew it as a bunch of buildings and old buildings in Plover, and they were being renovated. And what they've been able to do is create different opportunities for people. I like music, and one of the things they did this summer was to have a musical series out at that Rising Star Mill that John mentioned in Nelsonville. You know, it had bluegrass, it had blues, just some great music, and people who had never gone into that building all of a sudden see what the Historical Society is doing. So they've just been able to create different opportunities for people to understand who and what the Historical Society does.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for calling. John?
I know that guy. awareness is the key, right? And that's, I think, to my earlier point, is I want to make sure people know not only what we're doing, but that our mission is important. Because I think that all gets, you know, back to how do we get people in the pipeline to learning about what we do more as our mission through some of these more tangential things. The Rising Star Mill is the best concert venue that I've ever been in, by the way. So maybe Larry will get you up for a concert there soon. But it's, you know, I think local historical societies have a unique perspective on their communities. We are one of the few nonprofits that could actually directly impact every single person in the communities we serve. Because every person is important. Every person has an important story. And so, you know, being able to get more people involved through these different activities is really important so that they start to find themselves in what we're doing.
Yeah. Janet, comment from you.
The work that the Portage County Historical Society has done to make history accessible is one of the reasons they're being honored this year with the Thwaites Trophy. And that's everything from, you know, just accessibility with digitizing photographs. So people can see themselves in the stories and the programs. So when you visit Portage County Historical Society, you can see yourself there. And so that is something to be commended, the accessibility in sharing and honoring people's stories and in the community.
And I think just bringing people together and people who may never have otherwise been involved in history, you have so many ways to bring people together. Brewing history is one. You wrote your master's thesis on People's Brewing Company in Oshkosh.
Yes.
The first African-American-owned brewery in Wisconsin. What fascinates you about brewery?
Well, that came from when I was going back to school. The professors at UWSP said, you got to pick a research area. And I first said, well, I'm going to study American history. And they said, well, that's a little broad. So maybe pick something a little more focused. And I really enjoy craft beer, and I collect beer antiques and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And so, that kind of story just popped out as people, again, it kind of gets into not only awareness of an organization and a mission, but an awareness of some of these really interesting stories that our communities hold within them. So, I did my master's thesis on that. That work led me to be the intern for the beer historian at the Smithsonian National Museum of American History in 2019. somebody had to do it, so I was there. But I'm also now through all this, too, I wrote the book on the history of the Stevens Point Brewery, which is one of the nation's oldest breweries, and I lead history tours, and they're a great partner because they basically donate all the product and the ticket proceeds to us so we can do these history tours of Point Brewery. So I would be happy to show anybody. It's one of my probably understandably one of my favorite parts of my job. But with beer history, you get so many, you know, when you talk about Peoples being the first black-owned brewery in the state, we're not just talking about beer at that point then. You're talking about minority business and politics. And with the Stevens Point Brewery, you're not just talking about beer. You're talking about immigration and community. So there's different layers to good history.
I was on a 500-mile bike ride across Wisconsin one time, and one of our stops was Stevens Point, and the Point Brewery was providing free beer for those of us who were biking. And
Did you partake?
I had a couple, but then I still had 50 miles to bike that day.
That's the challenge.
So I left, but I left reluctantly. We'll put it that way. But it's great, and so many things that you are doing just bring they're fun things that bring people together, mm-hmm. and they're learning at the same time.
I think it's important that we create these opportunities for human connection in a world that's quickly being dominated by artificial intelligence. I think that's something that, like, if you're frustrated with that, go get active in your local historical society and rediscover that wonderful piece of human connection that we all share.
One that I wanted to go to, you have a couple of Halloween-themed events,
sure.
And you've got the Murder on Main Street.
Yeah, so we have it's always on October 18th, and it's actually not a Halloween-themed tour. It's a true crime murder-themed tour, but it happens every October 18th because it is the anniversary. It's actually the 150th this year, 150th anniversary of Stevens Point's only lynching. Now, it was not a racial lynching, which I guess is good, but it's also a lynching, so it's bad. Some brothers killed the sheriff, and then as they were held in the jail at the courthouse, a mob broke them out, and let's just say you won't just get the stories of like that, but we have some of the different souvenirs or items that might correspond to some of these historic murders throughout Stevens Point. But there's been enough murders in Stevens Point historically to do like an hour and a half walking tour on them. So Stevens Point used to be a pretty rough and tumble lumber town. So that's one of the things coming up. And then we have cemetery tours that we do at one of our cemeteries. We have a great person that we work with who researched tirelessly about Forest Cemetery in Stevens Point. And then we do trick-or-treating out at Heritage Park, too, so you can get the family involved and get candy.
Becky and Ryo will give you a chance. Hi, Becky.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I have a question to see if your guests are familiar with a novel called Remember Me Dancing. I cannot remember the author's name, but it was County, and it was a wonderful story of the Polish immigrants to the area, the generational.
Oh, you're breaking up. But the book, the novel, is set in Portage County.
Yeah, I think I'm familiar with that. Portage County has a huge Polish population, and our community is very proud of that Polish heritage. By 1900, 10,000 Poles lived in Portage County, which was a third of the population there. And so every fall, there's a Polish Harvest Festival that we do, and we have a number of different book titles on the Polish history. So I'll have to see if we have that specific one.
That was a book by Ken Pareko, I believe.
Okay.
Parejko.
Sounds Polish.
Yeah. I used to pick up, back in the day when I worked for Armstrong Produce, I used to drive a truck to that area and pick up 150, 100-pound bags of potatoes.
Yep. Yep. Potatoes and Polish stuff. That's our heritage up there.
Man. Well, I tell you, this has been so much fun. So how are you? I mean, are you happy with how things are going?
Oh, my God. Over the moon. I couldn't, in our wildest dreams, imagine that, you know, almost 4 years into having paid staff that we'd have added on what we have. I think the future is bright. I think our best days are ahead of us as the Portage County Historical Society.
And your hope?
My hope is that we can keep building on this success, and that people will keep responding so positively to it, and that contributions will follow that, so we can continue.
And Janet, your thoughts?
Well, it's been a really fun conversation, and also a nice way to continue honoring the good work that John Harry and the Portage County Historical Society, the staff, the board, the volunteers are doing there in Stevens Point, really bringing history to the community and encouraging people to have fun and learn, as you said, but really outstanding work. And so it was just a pleasure to also hear from folks from around the state, wonderful local historical societies in all of the communities that folks called in from today, bringing to mind a lot of wonderful volunteers working across the state in those communities to bring history
to life.
Yeah.
Well, John, Janet, thank you both very much for being with us today. John Harry is Executive Director of the Portage County Historical Society. Take a look at their website. They got a lot of cool stuff going on that we talked about. Portage County Historical Society. Janet Seymour, she has a lot going on, too, because she's Outreach Director for the Wisconsin Historical Society. Great to have them with us. Coming up, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau, will be bringing us a conversation she had yesterday with American humorist and author David Sedaris. I'm Larry Mueller. Stay with us here on WPR News.